Please take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. We'll begin reading in verse 2 and read to verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will show, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. A.W. Tozer, in the book The Knowledge of His the Holy, said, "What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you." Why? Why would he say that? Does our concept of God have anything to do with our values, our perspectives, or our relationship with one another? Where are we to find purpose, meaning, and a sense of accomplishment in our lives? As we look around us, did somebody make all this? Does somebody keep it going? Is somebody in charge, or is it all random, luck, and chance? Our answer is not only determining our destiny, but our journey as well. Built into the fabric of every human being is the need to connect, to be heard, to matter, and to make a difference. If we choose to live without an intimate, personal relationship with God, we try to meet those needs through our own efforts and by engaging the efforts of others. Because the result is never enough, we add to a standard of performance, a set of rules, and a system of beliefs to try to make sense of life. That too is never enough. God has put eternity in the hearts of every man, and there is this longing to connect to something or someone greater than ourselves. Can we really know God? Of all the world's religions, only the God of the Bible offers us an intimate personal relationship made possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. A person is only as credible as his words. Scripture says God spoke and the world came into being. In order to answer the question, is God knowable, we have to assume his word is true. If his word is not true, then he is not true. Does he want us to know him? Let's look at what he says through the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am kind, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Through prayer we begin that relationship, and through prayer we sustain a growth in that relationship. What is his priority for our lives? How has he shown himself to us? Number one, creation. Romans 1:19. If you can go there. Romans 1:19 through 21. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they know God, they glorified him not they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So we don't only see God through, God does not only show himself through creation, but also Jesus. John 1:14. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we don't know. We first see he shows himself through creation, second, Jesus, and finally, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. Second Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished, furnished unto all good works. His creation, his son, his word, and prayer. He says he has given us every opportunity to know him. How are we doing? Are we walking the tightrope of the status quo? Or are we ready to know him, whom to know in the right way is eternal life? If there's anyone here that does not know him as their own personal Savior and would like to do that tonight and would like to have a personal relationship with him, first you must admit that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It is tough to admit that you're wrong, even before God. We feel we are basically good, and we would like to think that we're never as bad as some others. The truth is we are all sinners and can never be good enough to earn our way to heaven. God's word, the Bible, clearly states that all have sinned. God is holy and just. Sins against a holy God deserves punishment. We are told in the Bible that the wages or payment for sin is death, eternal death in hell. We must not only admit, second, we must believe. Believe on Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Salvation is not complicated. Jesus said in Mark 10:15, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." A child simply puts their trust or faith in the Father's strong arms. Likewise, we must entrust our life to Jesus Christ, believing on him and his finished work on the cross. We must not only admit and believe, we must also confess. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made known unto salvation. God did his part, sending his one and only Son to die on the cross in our place. He has offered us a free gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life with him in heaven. But we must receive that gift. We must confess our sins and confess our faith or belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Confessing with our mouth requires an outward, public action, not a secret, a hidden, or timid faith. The Apostle Paul boldly proclaimed his faith so that others could hear and be saved. God's plan of salvation is freely offered to anyone. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you call upon him for salvation, God promises to hear you and you will be saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray right now, if there's anyone here that has not put their faith and trust in you to be saved, I just pray that they would do that tonight. So if they would die tonight or 20 years from now, that they would know they would spend eternity in heaven with you. Amen.
Thank you, Ryder. It's always amazing to me how God puts the messages together. Josh preached about God being available in our circumstances, in our storms, in our troubles, being our refuge and our strength. Ryder preached about God being available for salvation. God has made himself available to each and every one of us tonight. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, God is available to you. He has put himself at your disposal. The book of Hebrews says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. God is available to you to help you, to sustain you in life. If you are here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, as Ryder said tonight, God has made himself available to you as a Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die in your place so that you wouldn't have to suffer the payment for your own sin. He took that payment for you. It always amazes me too. I appreciate the heart of our young people. It seems like every month, one of the guys preaches a salvation message. At least one of them does. And I appreciate that. I really, really do. But I encourage you tonight, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, talk to somebody. Pastor's here. I'm here. I'll tell you what, one of these teens would talk to you in a heartbeat. But we would love to talk to you about the gospel and what Jesus Christ did for you. But guys, thank you very much for your preaching tonight. I appreciate your use of the Bible and scripture. And so thank you very much. We have a Linger Longer, a fellowship that follows this. It's cookies tonight because our kitchen is under construction. So, but we have some drinks and some cookies. And we'd like it if you would stay. If you're a visitor tonight, please stay and let us get to know you and meet you. And just have a good time of fellowship and a good time of talking and just being around each other. So let's pray and we'll close for tonight and we will have our fellowship. And I'm going to ask Pastor Long to pray for us, please.